This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Denofa Archer Cartwright. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I seem to be on my phone on both here and there. We were having some technical difficulties, and so I had to basically sign in on my phone. So those of you who usually listen on my Facebook, I won't be there right now. I'm going to try to get back on there using a different method. But I was having a little technical difficulty, and so that's why it took a little while. But I want to thank you all for kind of tuning in. I'm going to basically get back onto Facebook as well. So if you're listening, you can check out the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. D. We're going to pull that up and we're going to continue to go to get up on there. So I hope that everybody's hearing well, and welcome for another Tuesday's evening of the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Denofa Archer Cartwright. Thank you for joining us. Let's just see where we are. I'm not sure what's going on. Why am I still live there? Okay, all right. So I'm going to try to get back online as best as I can. But last week, we were talking basically about wellness and how to basically achieve that. We talked about the different components of wellness. And what I wanted to talk about today, just to kind of move on to another level of that, is basically how do we achieve that? Like, how do we get there? Because we talk about these things all the time, but how do you achieve wellness? How do you... are you able to get to that place? And what are the steps does that require? So we're going to look at some things to kind of help you understand, are you even on the path of wellness? And then, of course, how do you then get there? And how do you make that change? Because change is one of the most difficult things. And people tend to not be able to get the change that they would like. So we're going to try to pull up the live on Facebook as well. I'm not used to doing it on my computer, so it's going to take a little bit for those of you who are used to listening on Facebook. I usually do this from my phone, so it's going to be a little bit different, but we're going to try and get there. All right. So for those of you, thank you for tuning in to Dr. Zimmy, Dr. D, family medicine specialist. We're talking about wellness. It's kind of like an ongoing thing that we've been talking about. And I just hope everybody can tune in tonight and kind of like go through the steps of what I think that we should be doing in terms of wellness. And then we can kind of go from there. I'm trying to get this live video up on thing, but I don't seem to be super, super successful with this, but I'm going to keep trying. So I want to talk about, so we talked about last week what wellness is, and that it, in a sense, it's a deeper level. It's beyond just health, which is the lack of disease, but it's kind of the optimization of that health in all the different areas that we would have discussed, both physical and spiritual, economical, or financial, mental, all of those different aspects that we have in our lives. So as we get started, I want to, Roots of Resiliency has a really great kind of little fun thing that everyone can kind of do at home to determine if they're on their way to wellness. And so this takes just a little while and we'll go through it. And really they just lay out 21 kind of key things that if you're kind of doing these things, then you would be basically on your way to wellness. So you would be doing the steps for wellness. So there's 21 of these, and you can sit at home and kind of score yourself. And from there, you can kind of see, you know, if you are actually on your way or not. So I'm going to lay out the 21 things. You kind of look and see, are these things that you're implementing in your life, right? Are you doing that? Are you doing those particular things? And so that is going to be super important for you to look at. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, our live should be up. So I hope you guys are hearing me there as well as here. Okay, great. So there we go. So we're all ready to go now. So sorry about all of that, all these technical difficulties, but we're in the computer age. Of course, our program is brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health need. We are a primary care clinic. We do NHI, and you just expanded our coverage. So if you want to join up, you're going to give us a call, 326-1521-376-3911. You can also find us at our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. We're on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you're looking for us on Instagram, it's medical_concierge_services. So people ask, what is the concierge part? Well, we do have concierge services. So if you need us to come to you, we can do that for you. And we have a lot of other specialty services. And we will be onboarding some new services coming this fall. So look out for that. Stay with our website, our Facebook group, or you can send, give us a call. And of course, our WhatsApp number, 432-4010. So these 21 things, if you can tick them off, you're on your way to wellness. So the first one relates to exercise. Are you getting 30 plus minutes of physical activity at least 4 to 5 times per week? That's going to be one of the number one things in that wellness spot. The next one that was put out there was, do you have daily time for prayer or meditation? Do you take time out to just take a quiet moment and kind of, you know, reflect and go over your time with yourself? Do you get an opportunity to read for fun and relaxation? It would be number three. Do you get to volunteer? Because that's a really important part of our social health. Do you try to eat healthy and a well-balanced diet? Are you keeping a list of your financial goals? Because remember, finance is a part of that overall wellness equation. And do you participate in professional development opportunities? Has healthy strategies for coping? Have you formed any healthy strategies for coping with stress? So some people don't find positive ways of dealing with stress, and that can definitely affect their health. So you really want to have those positive coping mechanisms in place. Have you invested in building close friendships? Very important for our social health. Have you dealt with loss in a healthy manner? That's a super, super important. We're in a time where there is a lot of loss, and people are dealing with it in different ways. So, you know, I have patients that come in all the time and they've lost a mother, or a brother, an uncle. And a lot of this seems to be happening a lot closer to one another lately. So you have grief on top of grief. So I don't think we talk about it enough how important it is to have support and know how to deal with loss in a healthy manner. Because grief can actually go into a form of depression if it's not kind of dealt with properly, if it lingers more than about 12 months. And so this can also really affect your health. Are you involved in a club or a sports group? That's super important. Do you read inspirational literature? So are you gonna keep positive? Do you play like a musical instrument? Do you schedule breaks throughout the day? So do you just, you know, take some time off for maybe a busy schedule and just take a break? Are you getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep every night? You know, that is a problem for a lot of people. I really enjoy sleeping, so I do get my sleep at least 8 hours. So, but for a lot of people, I hear a lot of people saying that they're only sleeping 4 hours a night. So that can be pretty rough on your body, especially if you're feeling that you're tired or fatigued in the daytime. Are you maintaining a financial saving for the future? This is very tumultuous times. And I was listening to the news today and they were talking about the rate of inflation and how inflation is actually changing from month to month. So just within the last month, inflation has gone up 0.6%. Before that, it was 1%. So people are getting a raise every month. And so the cost of living is really, really kind of skyrocketing. And financial savings and future investments, all this type of stuff becoming super important. I think we're in a dangerous place as a community where we don't have a lot of savings. So be mindful of that. And if you're not in a good situation, it's a great time to plan. Smiles and laugh most days. Are you happy? Are you happy most days? That's a sign of wellness, definitely. Pursuing ongoing education. So this can be in a lot of different forms. You don't have to be trying to get a college degree or a PhD, but if you're always trying to learn, always trying to pursue more knowledge, this brings you closer to kind of educational stability, and you know, knowledge is always a good thing. So that's a really good one. So making time for play, you gotta have fun sometime. Spending time in nature. And finally, number 21, has a positive relationship with your body. Do you love your body? Are you comfortable in the skin that you're in? These are all telltale signs. If you're hitting all these boxes and you're saying yes, 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 then you are either, you know, on the path to wellness or you're there, but definitely, you know, that is, you're in a positive space. Now, if you're not there, if you looked and you said, well, I'm really not checking all of these boxes, what does that mean for you? That means that perhaps you need to set some health goals. So you need to develop an effective plan to support your personal goals and enhance your resilience. And we're going to go through those steps and what that looks like and how it takes. And you can kind of, you know, take these down or whatever. You know, I teach a lot of this stuff to my patients as we go along. But, you know, I'm bringing it to you guys tonight. So step one, identify the behavior that you want to change. So how do you want to enhance your resilience? When you're planning healthy change, it is best to start very simple and build from there as you become more familiar with the process. So remember, change takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. So with specific and achievable goals, you can definitely get there. So how do you want to enhance your well-being? You have to be specific about the things that you want. So we've identified in our last session what are the different aspects of wellness, what are some of the things that we have to do to be well. And now you need to make specific goals in mind to say, you know, if one of those boxes wasn't checked, how is it that I'm going to now be able to check that box and make some changes? So how do you want to enhance your well-being? You want to do this by identifying the benefits to making that change, because subconsciously in your mind, that's where the change begins. That's where you really have to have that shift in your mindset, is right there where you are trying to make that change. And so you want to identify the benefits for that change. So knowing why you're making the change is going to help and boost motivation, especially on those days when change seems extremely hard. And like I said, you can find us on the Roots of Resiliency. It's a really great framework for this. All right. So knowing why you're making the change will help boost your motivation. It'll especially when it seems really hard. So what are those identifiers? You know, I'll be happier. I'll be able to spend more time with my friends. My grades will improve if you're a student. I'll feel less stress. And so you want to write down the benefits that will come from this change, and you just want to list them down. And, you know, if you keep all of this together, then you'll have something to kind of look back onto when you are having hard times. So you want to start with basically the benefits to that particular change. So So you want to look at how do you enhance your well-being. You want to be specific. This is the thing that I want to change. I want to exercise 5 times a week. How is that going to make me better? Well, it's going to make me physically better. I'm going to lose weight, whatever. And you want to list those benefits specifically to each one of the changes that you want to make. And step 3, set SMART goals for the change that you want. And this is broken down into specific, measurable, achievable, and realistic, and time-bound goals. And this makes it more likely that you're going to actually achieve your goal. So the longer-term goals may be broader in the sense of what you want, whereas your shorter-term goals are going to be a lot more specific. Breaking longer-term goals into smaller ones also make them really manageable, and you will be able to increase the likelihood of success. So if you make a really broad goal, you want to break that down into smaller goals and then kind of do those over time. An example of that I will develop a more balanced lifestyle by participating in regular physical activity. You want to identify your longer term goal. And next, you want to identify short-term goals that will help you reach the long-term goal. So for example, I will prepare my workout clothes for the next day before I go to bed. I will create a schedule for my physical activity for each week, including 4 activities per week of 30 minutes of exercise. So be very specific about those things. And I love lists and goals and stuff. So this kind of stuff kind of works for me. Sometimes I do it in my head. Sometimes I write it in my iPhone on my iPad, right? And some of this is adapted from the National Wellness Institute's 2009, Making Wellness Work for You, 3rd edition. So some of those points are coming out of there. And so over the next week, another goal you can say is over the next week, I will research at least 1 new physical activity I can include into my schedule, so that you're planning kind of for the future. And so all of those little goals kind of make up your longer term goal of, you know, just participating more regularly in physical activity. So that's a really great start that you want to have. So So you want to list those short-term goals after you list your broader goals. Now this 4th step is really interesting because it is an assessment of your readiness to change. So we talked about that you have to be ready for change, because change can be very, very hard. So the more ready you are to make that change, the more successful you're going to be with achieving your goals. And to use the following, we're going to look at a questionnaire system. You can ask this to yourself right now and decide if you are ready for change. And if you're not, you might want to revise some of your goals and see if there's something that can increase your readiness. Just before we jump into that, I just want to quickly kind of go over the different stages of change. There are actually 5 of them. The first one being the pre-contemplation stage. This is basically, no, you're not ready. So let's say in terms of an interventional strategy such as exercise, this is the person who is not engaging in regular exercise. They have no intention to start in the future. And so, you know, for them, they might need more education. They might increase the importance of their cognitive dissonance towards exercise. They need to maybe know what specific rewards are related to exercising. But at this moment in time, they're just not there. They need education, they need other things. The second stage we call contemplation. This is a person who's not exercising yet, but they're committed to taking action within the next 6 months. So they're thinking about it. They're like, nah, you know, I really do need to exercise. I really need to do better. They also need further education. And they need to see more about the reward system, but they're a lot more aware. And they're thinking about changing their current behavior. So that's a contemplation phase. The third phase of change is called preparation. So this is when you're seriously considering, you're thinking about starting, has taken some steps towards the objective. You start educating yourself. It seems a lot more important to you. You can understand what the rewards may be. And there's a lot of persistent visual feedback of your awareness. You're always thinking about it, and you're looking at your behaviors and your patterns and kind of seeking out how to change those things. Number four in your stages of change. So we talked about contemplation, pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation. And preparation starts getting you into more of the active phase of change. And number four is action. So exercising consistently for less than 6 months. So that first 6 months, you're in the action phase, persistent visual feedback to monitor physical activity levels and to keep track of progress. There's some elements of social influence, and you're definitely feeling the ramification features of what it is to benefit from the exercise. And then finally, you're in the last action phase, which is maintenance, which means that you're exercising consistently, you're doing it for more than 6 months, you're very persistent, and overcoming the problems, you're dealing with all the problems that may arise. You feel really strong in this, and you are already reaping some of the benefits probably from this change in behavior. So that's where we all want to get to, kind of specifically to the phase where we're maintaining and we're no longer trying, but we're actually doing. And so these are kind of questions you're going to ask yourself whether you are ready for change. So the first one is making the change important to you? You know, are you doing this for yourself or are you doing this for someone else? And if yes, then, you know, that's one step towards being ready for change. Do you have a positive attitude about your ability to make the change? So do you think you can do it? Because that mental attitude has a lot to do with how successful you'll be. If you don't think you're going to do it, then, you know, you may have to do some more contemplation about why it's important for you to achieve this goal. Are you more likely to be healthier or live in a healthier environment if you make this change? And so if the answer is yes, that moves you a step closer to being ready for that change. Are you able and willing to spend the money it may require? So do you have the resources to actually implement the change? And I think that is a big hurdle for a lot of people. Do you have the resources? Do you have the money? Do you have the time? Are you able to really put in what is required for this change? And so this may be a lot of people's stumbling block, but then, you know, if you really want something, you'll find a way around it. Are you willing to intentionally devote the time necessary to make that change? And this is where all that scheduling and all those goal performances, like for me to get back in the gym, I had to schedule my days. So I have specific days that I go and I try to make those days regardless of what's happening. It would have to be something, you know, really out of the way for me to kind of miss. So I have some few dedicated days. It's hard, but, you know, that's how you kind of have to do it. The goal I have is set is measurable. So do you have a measurable goal? And that could be something like, I intend to lose 20 pounds in 6 months. So if you intend to do that, you can actually measure that goal. Or you say, I want to be going to the gym at least 4 times a week. That's a measurable goal, right? So if you start at 2, 3, and then you end up at 4, you can actually see your progress. So you do want to pick things that are going to be measurable, things that are going to be easy for you to kind of track. And then it can be very specific, especially if you're looking at health or physical health goals. If for my patients, diabetics or hypertensives, or whatever it may be, I help them to set goals. And so we try to achieve that goal within a specific amount of time. I think that really, really works because people have a sense of this is where I need to be by this particular time. And not to make it stressful, but to make it and do it in a doable manner. Number seven is knowing what you know about yourself. Is the goal even achievable? If you think about it, is this something that you can do? And it kind of links in with the last one, because when you are making goals, you have to make realistic goals. So you won't say that you're going to lose 100 pounds in 3 months or 50 pounds in 3 months, because it's going to be very difficult. But if you said, hey, I'm going to lose 5% of my body weight, if you're 200 pounds, and you're going to lose 10 pounds, then, you know, that's very doable. And so I that's a really important part about it, is if you set things that are kind of like unachievable for yourself, when you're not able to do those, then you will find that you will have problems attaining it, and may even set you back that you're not able to do it at all. And number eight, can you identify others who will support you in making this change? And that's super, super important. I know a lot of people who have been able to do X, Y, and Z because they had a partner who was with them, or someone who was really supportive, a spouse or something like that. And I do tell families, if, you know, someone's making a major change, the entire family should do it together. You can't be eating chicken in a bag whilst that person's eating a salad. You guys have to do it together and find compromises where everyone is happy but eating healthier. And then the whole family will be healthy, right? So if those eight things, you are ready for that particular goal, for that particular change, then you will find that you are definitely ready for that change. Step five in this process would be, are there helpers and are there hurdlers to making this change? So sometimes we need to draw on other resources and make other changes to support our well-being goals. Consider the factors that will help support you in achieving these goals. For example, a helper could be, I will ask my friend to come with me to the gym at least once a week. So you might have a friend who goes to the gym regularly, and you might want to schedule a time with them to ensure that, you know, there's somebody who's going to be like, hey, let's go, or they're expecting you, and it's more likely that you're going to turn up. I will purchase healthy food to eat after I exercise, as it will help my body to feel good. Really, really important one here, as I was discussing with someone about fasting, and they're like, you know, I'm fasting, and they didn't feel like it was working. And I said to them, like, what are you eating after you fast? And they're like, oh, I'm eating all kinds of stuff. So, you know, sometimes people do themselves a disservice by mixing in things that don't go together. So if you are fasting, which I find sometimes if your body, your hormones are off, fasting can actually work against you. And if you're eating poorly after a fast, it might make matters worse. So that's something that you have to kind of work your way through and manage your way through. Will you sign up for a class once a week? So if you sign up for the class and you expect it to be there, it's more likely you're going to go. Will you schedule your workouts in your phone or somewhere, give yourself reminders? All those things are going to be really, really helpful in your path for change. So you want to write down the things that you think are going to help you and incorporate that into what you're doing. So it's normal to run into hurdles as well as you are going along in your healthcare journey and your wellness journey. And when you can anticipate those potential hurdles, then you can actually come up with solutions. So one of the ones that are really, really common is being really tired at the end of the day, maybe too tired, you feel like to do any kind of physical activity. You may not be able to always afford the healthy food choices. And sometimes you just struggle with willpower. So those are, you know, hurdles that a lot of people are going to have. And you're going to have to find personal ways to kind of get over them. So you want to think about and list ways you can overcome each one of those hurdles and identify support. What would you need to support your success in each one of those areas? For example, if you find that you're consistently tired on certain days, move your activity to a day or an earlier time of the day that may be better for you. Right? Maybe you need to text a friend when you're struggling with willpower and set up an arrangement that friend, anytime you call, is going to really encourage you and try to get you back into doing that particular activity. So you want to list those solutions and kind of have them handy in case you forget them. And that's another really important part of it all. And so I'm going to open up the phone lines. You can tell me about your optimization of your health, your health journey, and whether you find that there are things that you use to help you to make changes. So our phone lines tonight, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259. We're talking about how to make that change, how to make those first few steps in order to get yourself where you need to be, not just in health, but also to the next degree of wellness. So step six in all of this is setting yourself up for success by modifying your surroundings. The people and things around you can definitely influence the way that you walk through life. And they may also affect your new goals. And you may fall back to some of your old habits if you're still doing the same routines. So the more supportive your surroundings are, the greater likelihood of your success. You want to consider the people in your life and how they may impact you. Will they enhance and support what you're doing, or will they be a hindrance? So, for examples, and it's not just people, it's just, environments in general. Keeping healthy foods in the fridge, in the cupboard. Don't buy junk food, right? So if the cookies are in the cupboard, you're probably going to eat them, right? So having the willpower to just not get them at all. And then, and I always think of it as like that becomes like a treat. If you really, really like cookies, and when you're out and there's nothing else, or you're at a party, then you can have that because, you're not having it in the house. And not to like go crazy when you have those, but there's a lot of discipline in wellness. So set up an accountability agreement with a friend to support physical activity goals. So you want to, how will you build a supportive environment and social network to enhance the success of your goals? You can also write that down and kind of figure out what that's going to look like. Step seven in our plan is definitely to reward yourself. So if you have a reward system, and our brains tend to work like that. If we get rewards for certain behavior, we get conditioned to do that particular behavior. So rewards help to enhance our motivation and support our intentionality of change. Choosing enjoyable and positive rewards to celebrate achievements of your short-term and your long-term goals are going to be super important. Remember, you have to be okay not having or using the reward if you do not achieve your goal. Here are a few of the hints for that. So you want to reward yourself as soon as possible after completing a goal. You want to make sure that your rewards are meaningful to you, and it's okay to adjust or change those rewards throughout the process. You want to reward yourself more frequently earlier on in making the change, and as the change becomes more established, you can reduce the frequency of those rewards, and you can use more positive encouragement in addition to external rewards. So you want to make a list of what kind of things you may want to reward yourself for with short-term goals, and you want to list a reward for accomplishing your long-term goals. So if you have an overall goal, you can save the big prize for then. And then, of course, if you have a lot of shorter-term goals, you're going to have like smaller things that you're going to do for yourself. And rewards are going to be things that are going to be important to you. For example, if you've been spending more time exercising, maybe in the evening or during the time when you watch your favorite show, and you'll take 40 minutes before bed to maybe watch a show or do some Netflixing or whatever you want to do. Or you may say you want to treat yourself to a spa day or a pedicure after hitting a particular goal, set maybe a weight goal or an exercise goal, or even, something self-sustaining, another one could be something like buying yourself new workout clothes when you complete a particular long-term goal, because let's say your goal is to lose 20 pounds. Of course, you're going to be able to buy new clothes after that because you're going to have a different body at the time. And so you would be able to do that. And some people really like shopping. So any shopping might be a prize for that particular person, right? So how do you reward yourself when you hit your goals? Reach out to us, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. How important is change? And are you willing to make the changes to not only be healthy, but to be well? One of the final aspects of this is tracking your progress. And so once you've kind of made up your plan, you've gone through all of these steps, or you have them all listed and you're ready to get started, you want to track your progress, of course. And your progress is going to help you and keep you mentally focused on the changes that you make. And it also helps to remind you about the benefits of the change. So use your helpers, remember your plans for overcoming challenges, and be proactive in applying these strategies. You want to create the environment that supports your success, and you want to reward yourself, and you want to make this fun. So you want to really give yourself something that you're looking forward to. And so you can put together a chart that's going to track it. You can put in the date, what you actually plan to do, what you did, what helped, what may have been a hindrance, how you will overcome it, and even how you reward yourself. And that's going to be really great 8-step plan to achieve change and wellness. So we'll take a quick break and we will come back and kind of wrap up this whole topic together. All right. So we'll be back on The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. D. Archer.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Hello and welcome back to The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Janotha Archer Cartwright. We were talking about the stages of change and how to change in order to achieve your best health and your best wellness and what that means. So we got a few more points and then we're going to wrap it all up together, and we'll just put out the phone lines one more time if anyone wants to join in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And so just a few more pointers and then we'll kind of summarize everything that we talked about. And it's, how do you change some of those unhealthy habits, of course? So not just the ones that we want to get to, but the ones that we want to remove. And so you want to identify what those bad or unhealthy habits may be in your life that you want to change. For each habit that comes up, you want to come up similar to a reason you want to change those habits. Maybe it's for your own mental well-being. And so you want to be around to play with your grandchildren. You want to change your health dynamics so that, you know, you can do the things that you want to do. And so it's a very similar setup to making those positive changes and also, you know, removing some of these things from our lives. We talked about accountability. So you want to hold yourself accountable for making those changes. You don't want to blame others or a lack of time for not being able to make the change or to change your bad habit. Just like you would hold yourself accountable if you made a promise to yourself or to anyone else. You want to move any of those negative triggers. We talked about the environment that you may be in. So you want to remove the negative triggers in your life. If social media is making you feel bad about yourself, you may just want to get off. If it's drinking alcohol that you crave, a cigarette, or take a break from the alcohol. You probably already know what's triggering you, what's causing all these bad habits. And you need to find ways to basically avoid those triggers that lead you into doing the things that kind of the opposite of your goal. And you want to believe that you can change. So half the battle is finding success. And it's telling yourself that you can do something. So you want to ignore any negative self-talk and replace it with visualization of your success and the things that you really want to change. You want to know that it will take time and you might have setbacks. And that doesn't mean that all is lost. You have to build the momentum on top of those things because change is not easy. And there might be days when you just fail. You just don't do the things that you set out to do. It's how you deal with that that's going to make a really big difference. So instead of letting that failure win, you just continue working hard. And you may just have to work harder for another few days to get back to where you need to be. And this happens a lot, especially when you make progress, you lose 5 or 10 pounds, and then all of a sudden you're back in those unhealthy habits. That is the time where you got to pull yourself up and say, I'm going to work even harder. Make a plan, like we talked about, and we'll mention those 8 steps all over again. But, you know, you start with the baby steps. You start with something small. You're not going to go from not working out to 4 or 5 times a week. You might have to start twice a week. You might have to increase that to 3 times a week, 4 times a week over time. So create your schedule, get on that, start working that. And eventually you'll find that it just becomes habit. So your new healthy lifestyle should also have tasks and plans to follow, as we talked about. And goal setting is so, so important to come up with a healthy lifestyle, because that's going to really be the kickstarter. Setting your goals gives you something to work for and helps you to keep motivated to work hard. So by setting goals for yourself, you give yourself something to focus on. Additionally, goals allow you to measure your progress and see how much, how far you've gotten and all the things that you have been able to achieve. So when setting your goals, be realistic with yourself. If you want to quit smoking, if you want to lose 50 pounds, if you want to run a marathon, it's not going to happen overnight. And it might not even happen for a few months or even for a year. So not reaching those goals may seem discouraging and cause you to want to give up altogether. But instead, start small, focus on one goal at a time, and try to avoid overwhelming yourself. If you want to lose weight, make small goals on how to do it, such as working out 3 times a week, adding more vegetables to your plate when you want seconds. Keeping a journal or tracking it on your phone makes sure that achieving those small goals weekly. And, you know, there are a lot of great apps out there too that help you to kind of track what you're doing, so you can find one that works really well for you. And then, you know, there's all different kinds of stuff there. And when those goals become a part of your weekly routine, adding smaller goals such as only eating out twice a month or adding a weightlifting class to your routine, and these small goals are much easier to achieve than your much bigger goal. And then, you know, there's some basic things that you really need to just kind of cut out of your life, like quitting smoking, eating more vegetables, walking every day, make that a part of it. And, you know, with doing all of this, you also have to ensure that your mental health is also extremely important. So you want to write down something you are grateful for every day. You want to go on walks by yourself or with someone that you really care about. You want to do something small for someone else who may not expect it. You want to allow yourself to sleep. Sleep is super important for your mental health. You want to take a break and go outside. Being in nature and in, you know, outside environments is really healthy for you. You want to try new healthy recipes and share it with someone. Color, paint, write, do something creative and share it with other people. You want to put down your cell phone. You know, and just get away from technology. Sometimes it's just really healthy because, you know, we've become so dependent on our technology these days that we don't take time away for it. And we're kind of fixated because a lot of the stuff that we do is on the phones or on the computers. And so that's a part of it. It's another cool idea. Be a tourist in your own town. I don't know. A lot of things are changing downtown. Just get up one day, take a stroll and be a tourist in your own town. We are a tourist destination, so give yourself a Bahamian staycation. You want to break up your normal routine and you want to do something spontaneous. It's always good to try new things. And so that is really helpful for your mental health, and it helps with your continual growth and education. You want to try a new exercise such as kayaking or, you know, skiing or doing something out of the range. Or even here, they have a lot of different things here like driving or racing. Do something different. Try something different out of the box. Sometimes just working out or walking can get really maintained. I really find that I do better if I'm doing a sport. I haven't been doing a sport for a really long time, but it was what really worked for me when I was younger, especially. So being involved in some type of sporting activity or just changing up your routine in general, because sometimes even your muscles and your body gets used to a certain routine and you have to mix it up to kind of like make changes in your metabolism. Try meditating, being mindful, in prayer, and volunteering for a local charity. So this, if you have the time, it's always good to give some of that time back by being a part of a charity or an organization that's going to give back. And that leads into the 21 things that we talked about in the very beginning. Really did touch on those things. So we're going to go quickly over what our steps were. And so they were to identify the behavior that you want to change. You want to identify the benefits to that change. You want to be smart about how you put down your goals for change, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. Number four, you want to assess your readiness for change. Number five, you want to look at what are the helpers and the hurdlers to making change. So what are the things that are going to basically help you and be supporting you, and what are going to be your challenges and how will you overcome those challenges? And you want to list all that stuff down. Number six would be setting yourself up for success by modifying your surroundings and your environment, maybe even the people that you're around. So I know that works really well for like people who are have addictions like smoking or drinking. Sometimes you have to be away from the people that trigger you to do those things. You have to plan your rewards in advance. So have rewards set up for both your short-term and your long-term goals. And of course, you want to track your progress. You want to know exactly what you're doing over time and be able to go back and look at some of those measurable and tangible goals. So that is pretty much a strategy for change and how to make the changes so that you can develop wellness in your life. And I hope that that all was extremely helpful for you guys. And for more information, or if you need to do a session with us at our clinic, you can give us a call. Of course, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. You can reach us. We're in Collins Avenue in the Bahamas Heart Center at 326-1521. Our WhatsApp line, especially if you want to sign up for an NHI program, is 432-4010. Always get that one a little mixed up. But that's the WhatsApp line. So if you just want to WhatsApp us your information, you just need your NIV card information. If you want to join up the NHI program with us. And of course, you can check us out on our website or on Facebook or Instagram. So that's our program for you tonight. I hope it was helpful and you were able to kind of decide at least on the five steps of change where you may be. Are you in pre-contemplation? Are you contemplation? Are you thinking about it? Are you not thinking about it? Are you ready to take action? Or are you really there? Are you in that maintenance phase and you just need to keep your encouragement up? So we are always here to help you wherever, whatever stage you may be in. So keep encouraged that you are going to be successful on your health journey. I always say try to first achieve health, and then the next step in health is wellness, because you need to be well-rounded in your health. And I do believe in balance. And I think once you find balance in life, you find happiness, you find success. It's just another level of growth in your life. And it all plays in, like we say, into Maslow's hierarchy. Once you've got your basic needs kind of settled, you can start moving to higher levels of both health and wellness and life. So thank you guys for listening to me, Dr. D. Archer, tonight. on all this wellness stuff. We'll be back next week, Tuesday, on Guardian Radio 96.9 for another exciting show on all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.